Now, she was voted most likely to turn into Pippa from Home and Away while at school, but as the years went by and all her friends started having families, Liv Thorne found herself aged 37 with not even the whiff of a Tinder date on the horizon and her internal fertility clock going from TikTok to this.
So, she did something about it and documented it on Instagram with Lives Alone, which is also the title of her new book. Like, really new. It's only out this morning. So, Liv, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, boys. Thanks for having me.
No bother. It's an absolute pleasure. Liv, like, we're going to get straight into it. You explain the feeling that gradually the stuff you had in common with your friends got smaller and smaller as they got married and had kids and all of that. What's that like?
Can I just firstly say, I couldn't be happier that you've just played the countdown theme tune.
Did you like that?
I really, really love that.
We aim to please here.
Well, you have. I mean, it's just all of your friends gradually from the age of 20 start getting engaged, then having babies. And if you're still single, your life just becomes really different to everything you thought it would be and what your friends are doing all the time. You know, you're not at the school gates or in PTA meetings or any of that. And so I took fate into my own hands and had a baby on my own.
Yeah, and like, I mean, in
so
the book...
So many questions, I know.
Got so many questions, yeah. Like, how did you end up... You went into a doctor and you blurted out, I want a baby, I need sperm.
Yes, because I didn't know, like... Where do you start? I had no idea. You don't get taught any of this, of course. Like, so I was terrified, did some Googling, which as ever didn't help. And then went to my doctor and just said, I just want to get pregnant. I need sperm. And thankfully she didn't chuck me out of the doctor's surgery. She said, okay, let's help.
She had some for you.
Yeah, just there, just ready.
I've got a can of it here, she said.
Yeah, as it happens, Liv, there's some in the fridge.
You'll have to put it in yourself. Can I ask, actually, is it true your donor was Danish?
Yes, Danish donor.
And why is that?
Oh, I'd love to give you a really cool answer.
Yeah, please.
The truth of the matter is I watched just one documentary about sperm donation, and that it was specifically about Danish sperm donation. And so that's all I knew about. So I went to online sperm bank in Denmark. But also because in England and probably in Ireland, it's a really weird thing to do, be a sperm donor. Like men don't do it.
Yeah, really? Do Irish or UK men not do it as much as people on the continent?
No, not at all. And I don't know why that is. I presume it's because, it's just not talked about. Honestly, if you say to men, oh, I got a sperm donor baby, they all just sort of start gurning and going, oh, really? And a bit giggly. Whereas women are just like, oh, yeah, cool. But so in England and Ireland, the sperm pool to choose from is much more limited. And so... I just wanted more options, really.
Danish lads would be good looking, though. So I'd say they have like the market cornered, have they? They're like, oh yeah, they're premium brand.
Stylish
men. Yeah. They're hot and the happiest nation in the world, apparently. So it was a win-win.
You go.
Do fellas get a few pounds for donating sperm, do you know?
No. So it's literally something like 35 euros, something like that.
Sure, they're doing it at home for free, you know?
and I think legally they're not allowed to say that they're being paid, but they're being reimbursed for travel and expenses.
Okay. So what happens next then when you say, okay, I want a bit of Danish sperm, I want to have the baby on my own? What's the next step?
So I went online to the Danish sperm bank that I chose and went through a billion probably online profiles and chose my donor and then got it shipped to a fertility clinic in the UK.
And how did you choose the donor?
Oh, it's really hard. That was the loneliest, scariest part, to be honest, because it's like a really big deal. You're not choosing dinner. But also there are no right or wrong answers. So It just, so initially I was doing it like, oh, he sounds like fun. Cool. He plays the guitar. He sounds like a good guy. And then I realized that that had no, literally nothing to do with what my child would be like.
Do you, do you get to see a photo?
No, just a, well, it depends what sperm bank you use. There are so many that, and they all have different things that they will release about the donors. But mine, you get a baby photo and that's it, which is vaguely pointless.
That's tough.
And then was it like, was it, I guess I don't really know the difference, so I'm going to just ask you, what's the difference between IUI and IVF? I mean, you've got this information in your book, but.
Yeah. So IUI, I mean, it's all really sexy stuff. So IUI is basically they just put the sperm straight into your cervix.
Right.
This is good morning breakfast chat.
Yeah.
And IVF is more intrusive and more expensive. So, and that's when hormones are used. You can have hormone injections for IUI too, but IVF, they will harvest normally the eggs outside of the body and then reimplant them back in. Okay. So it's much more intrusive. So what I did, IUI, is pretty entry-level fertility treatment.
And then, like, you know, after going through the treatment, like, there's zero guarantees with fertility treatment, but you got pregnant, like, pretty much to plan. What was the moment
It was on the fourth go.
On the fourth go, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, which in itself is a bit of a miracle. So, yeah, I was really lucky. So on the fourth go, and then I was going to try, after my fourth IUI, I was going to try IVF, because obviously it's really expensive fertility treatment. So I had to give myself a cap because I'm not very good at moderation. So I knew that I had to just give myself some limits of when I would stop trying, because otherwise, I'd have to sell everything.
Yeah.
Can I ask, what did your friends and family say when you told them?
I was terrified of telling them. I don't know why. I just assumed it, because people don't talk about it and it's not like the norm. I was really worried how people would react, and actually everyone was really supportive from day one.
Great.
I didn't have one person say, I mean, loads of people sort of flippantly went, Jesus, you're mad, but nothing that made me think that I couldn't do it or shouldn't do it. So.
And you must have been thrilled, like, that moment that you found out, oh my God, this has worked, like, I'm pregnant.
I was really, really thrilled, like, yeah, thrilled, but also terrified. And, I suspect with all people, whether you're on your own or as a part of a couple, when it does suddenly happen, you know that your life is going to shift immeasurably. So actually, it's as exciting as it is terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was absolutely thrilled until the sickness started.
Can I ask you, have you thought about what you're going to tell your son when he gets older, if he asks about his dad?
So he already knows. We talk about it all the time because it's not a secret. I don't want him ever to be unsure of how he came about.
And what age is he now?
He's just 3.5, so he doesn't understand.
Okay.
But he knows he doesn't have a dad, and we talk about it, and I will talk about it more and more openly the older he gets, you know, so the more he can understand. I'll obviously change the language around it and tell him. But we've got loads of books about single families and how people are born and can be born with the help of science and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, he's not a dirty little secret. So
I will
talk to him really openly from, well, I already have started because, well, apart from anything else, I'm really rubbish at keeping secrets and I wouldn't know how else to tell him.
Yeah, and
he came about.
So. You're very honest in the book that, like, once the baby arrived, it was difficult. I mean, what did you look for feedback off other mums or?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you boys have children?
No, not yet.
Okay, brace yourselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I knew that I wanted babies and so badly. Obviously, I went through all of this to have a baby, to become a mum. And so I just assumed when I had him, I'd be thrilled and it would be all, you know, stars and rainbows and isn't life wonderful. And actually parenting, who knew, is really tough. And that blew my mind. That really blindsided me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I totally... I used Instagram a lot to sort of reassure myself that I wasn't on my own. And guess what? I wasn't. Everyone finds it really hard.
thanks for sharing your story. We're getting texts in here. It says, hi Liv, I am 8 months pregnant, doing it alone too. There are days I feel invincible and days I'm so terrified, but listening to you makes me feel so much calmer. For Amanda. Aww.
And we got
Thanks, Amanda. Good luck.
We got another text in here, Liv. It says, I recently told my parents that I was planning to have a baby on my own. My mum cried and my dad hasn't spoken to me in a week. They absolutely cannot accept that I want to do this. I'm 39. I've been single for 10 years and I can't wait more years in the off chance I could meet someone. I know I will be a great mum. I've always wanted to be one and feel strongly that I can do it alone. I hope they will come around as they have no grandkids. Any advice to that,
ma'am?
I'm
so sorry to hear that. It's really tricky. I can't empathize with that. Well, I don't have any parents for a start, so they couldn't be sad. But all I can say is that it's probably because they are mourning something that they thought would happen for them. So in their head, they've always thought their beautiful daughter would have a lovely marriage and, you know, and do all the normal things.
Yeah.
And so they've just got to grieve that a little bit, like probably like she has to, that her life is panning out slightly different to how they'd imagined, and hopefully they'll come round, because ultimately all they'll want is for you to be happy.
Great. 100%. Liv, look, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your story. Congratulations
You're
on
so
your baby, your son
Thank
Herb
you.
And
yes.
it's a good news story all around, so fair play. And your new book, Liv's Alone, My Adventures, it's a great read for anyone who's thinking about going alone, or if you know someone who is.
Liv, thanks for joining us today.
You're so welcome. Thanks, boys.